I don't fetishize vinyl. I'm about the content provision, really, rather than the format. But it's a nice thing to put out. It's you know, people sort of, I think people like to, I think if people can get a physical object from an artist, sometimes it's nice for them. That's certainly how I feel, because everything else feels so ephemeral now.
You've mentioned your family, like, in passing a couple of times, and I was wondering, in the, you know, like, I'm guessing the Venn diagram isn't like a big circle. I'm guessing like the crossover point is probably quite a sliver or whatever. What do you and your kids agree on?
Well, what, in music?
Yeah.
Well, you know, my son, he really loves Madness. He's 9. He really likes Madness. He really likes, because he likes Doctor Who, and he likes all the old Doctor Who.
Oh, cool.
He really likes the radiophonic music.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he'll listen to Delia Derbyshire and things like that, and Jean-Michel Jarre. And also, a thing we both really like is this Scottish group, Cosmische Laufer. Have you heard them?
No.
Okay, they're from now.
Pretending to be. Oh, I do know this group. Yeah, yeah,
they're pretending to be an East German guy from the 70s.
It's got something to do with the Olympics.
Who was made by the Stasi to write inspirational krautrock for the Olympics team. But that's what we like. And their little girl's 5. She likes lots of reggae, and she likes Motorhead, actually, and sort of things like that as well, headbanging kind of stuff. So, you know. But, I mean, we're going to End of the Road in September. And there's a couple of things that I'd like to watch with them. I'd like to watch Goat with them. I think they'll really go for that. You know, the Finnish shamanistic trance rock group. So, yeah. But it's nice hearing things through kids. But to be honest, the boy really likes classical music. I think it's partly as a reaction against... He says that the music I like is a mess. I think you react against your parents, don't you?
It must be interesting hearing stuff like Derek Bailey or Sonny Sharrock or whatever through the ears of a kid. It must give you pause for thought for a second. Like.
Yeah.
So, you know, this isn't your first book. You had a novel come out in 2001, The Perfect Fool. I was wondering, how was that experience, and do you think you'll write another one?
Well, you know, that book, right, was... that book... I had the misfortune to be writing it at the point where the internet was coming together and was in the process of invalidating it. Here's an interesting thing. I started it in the mid-90s, and it was about some guys who were in a Shadows covers band in a Streatham Greek restaurant who thought, sod this, what do we really want to do? What we really want to do is find this old 60s rock star who's gone missing that we used to love and persuade him out of retirement to form a band. And so what they do that is they go to America to find him, which is what you had to do then. Well, see, by the time the book came out, there'd have been a website where you could contact him. And I based an indication of its utter obsolescence, plot-wise, is that I based the character pretty much on Rocky Erickson from the 13-4 Elevators, who was off the radar at the time. Yeah. You'd think he was living in a shed and stealing people's mail. He was just someone that was never coming back, right? And then, of course, he played the ATP that I did. So, you know, it was sort of... The internet has created audiences for people. It's made people contactable. The other thing I didn't like about the book, pretty soon after I'd read it, there's a whole plot line about Native American clowns, which is something I'm really interested in. It's very hard to find out about it then. I went to the Southwest, I bought any books I could find, I wrote to people at universities about it, and I did what I could. But within a few years of the book coming out, the internet made it much easier to track down information. I managed to find a ritual I was allowed to attend in New Mexico, which was, I thought, not possible. And I realised I got a lot of it wrong. And people have wanted to republish it. It's still out there on print on demand, but I think of it as being like one of those New English Library books from the early 70s that is a bit psychedelic, and it sort of is what it is. But if I was to do it again, the problem is that I know loads of it's sort of not it's wrong, and it's sort of the plot was irrelevant within weeks of it being finished just because of technological advances, and I'm worried about inaccurately misappropriating aspects of a native culture to tell a Western story, and it seems like a mistake. But you know, people can find it. A lot of people like it. I wrote a film script of it and nearly got made, and that was quite an adventure. I went around for about 5 years trying to fund it. It was so frustrating, but I met lots of funny people doing it. I met Peter Fonda. I ended up taking Daryl Hannah around a William Blake exhibition at the. So it was a strange 5 years of sort of going to LA and not being let into places because I looked wrong, and you know. Anyway,
next up we've got a really excellent track called St. Michael South Elmham by Darren Heyman, who we're all big fans of at the Quietus. And I must admit, I hadn't heard this album, Thankful Villagers, and I really wish I had, because it'd be in our Albums of the Year so far list if I had heard it. And it's a great idea. What can you tell us about the Thankful Villagers?
Well, Thankful Villagers were villages in the First World War that all the men they sent to the war came back. And they were called Thankful Villages for some reason. And Darren, who is rapidly becoming a national treasure, I think, who's gone from being a cult indie legend with Hefner to this kind of, you know, he's the kind of artist that you imagine would get national funding to do these projects that he does now. And in this project is he's going to these villages and assembling and improvising music on site from source material that he... from and around source material that he picks up, interviews with people, or from ideas and feelings he gets from the church and the locations, and then going and performing at the places. And he's gradually amassing an amazing body of work that is a sort of where being an indie singer-songwriter meets being a sort of conceptual artist. I don't think there's anyone quite like it, really.
My name is Dorothy Bloomfield, but Nee Page. My dad was John Page. He joined the Suffolk Regiment for the First World War, 1914. He then went out, once he got posted, went to Salonika, but he worked with the mules, which were better for where they were, because in the terrain they had small feet and were so, strong, and they could carry the packs of ammunition or whatever they carried up to the front line. And that was what he'd done through most of his life in the army. And then, of course, he got invalided out to Malta through malaria, and that was towards the end of the war, because that's where he came home from on a hospital ship. He was very ill, and after he came home, and through my childhood of growing up, he used to every so often get this reoccur, and he was ever so ill. He really was. My father came back. My grandmother, she married twice because her first husband died quite young. She then married Sam Baldry. He was in the First World War, and his brother, and they were all from that village. And then you see, you get my aunt in the Second World War. We got four again from the village, and they all come back. But apart from that, I don't know too much about it. I know he used to talk about how hard it was, and how the men, you know, how they suffered, and when anybody got killed. I mean, round about Armistice Day, which is a remembrance of 11th in November, I've known him sit, and he really used to get upset, and he was a very hard man. You never see him cry, but he did used to get very, very emotional to a point, because the memories then come back. He had a melodeon on us when we were at home on a Sunday night, you know, in the winter when it was really cold, and for entertainment he would get it and play it, and Farmer's Boy was one of his songs that he had that he used to sing, and he would whistle. On a Saturday night, after he'd done a 4 weeks' work, he used to change his clothes and get his bicycle out, and he'd go for miles and go around and meet people who he'd met, you know, friends, and have a drink. He didn't get drunk. He used to like a drink. You know, he never took it with him. but he would get and sing, and they said, Shiner, we'll get you to sing, which he did. And Shiner, for some unknown reason, you see what I'm saying, he was always happy, but where he got that name from, I never did find out. You know, I'm talking about the sat up their horses, and when he got them, when he turned them out and they used to go out to grass, he could whistle them and they'd come. He put two fingers in his mouth. He never went after them. He just whistled and they came. It was marvellous.
Well, that was absolutely fantastic. Darren Heyman, St. Michael, South Almond. Did anyone in your family serve in the Great War? Or?
I don't know. I mean, my family's a bit of a mystery. I remember my granddad talking about watching people come back from the First World War at Birmingham Station, blinded by the mustard gas and walking along holding each other's shoulders. But beyond that, I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of, I'm lost track of a lot of people. I don't know. Well, I think if you're my age, you have vivid second-hand memories of World War II because your parents talked about it and your grandparents talked about it so much. And Darren's album, actually, it triggers a lot of sort of memories of that, where he's interviewing people talking about what they thought about the First World War and memories of war and how it affects families. I think it might be partly why it's affecting to me. It reminds me of listening to old people's stories.
So we've got coming up the final track, and doing a rough back of an envelope calculation, I'm guessing you must have been about 13,
yeah,
when this came out.
Yeah, I'd have been about 11 actually, 1980, okay. Innit? Yeah. So I really liked the beat as a kid, and they're one of those things you put them on now, the whole family like them, and I'm very grateful. It's nice to be able to put stuff on that everyone doesn't mind being on in the car or around the kitchen, and that everybody likes the beat in our family. I've seen both versions of the reassembled beat. It's funny how different they are. Dave Wakeling, the white British guy who's gone to America, his version of the beat is like American showbiz, play the hits, really like a show band, and it sort of delivers. And Rankin Roger, the black guy from the beat, other singer whose band are based here, it's much more rough and ready, and they're kind of like interpretations of the other tracks, and it's much more sort of punk rock and ragga and dub, you know. But it's weird that they both exist. I sometimes think, why don't I just get together and write some new material? Because they could do what none of those bands, well, I suppose Madness did it. That Liberty of Norton Folgate album was really good. But they could, you sort of think, oh, come on, sort
it
out.
I know we've interviewed both versions of the beat.
They seem quite comfortable with it.
I believe it's the one where they've got, like, say, for want of a better phrase, they've got like a gentleman's agreement that they won't tread on each other. So I believe Faust had the same arrangement.
Yeah, they did.
Arrangement
two Fausts
for,
now.
Yeah, yeah, and they would take years off, you know.
Two Fausts, which is sort of hilarious. I mean, Sid Griffin from The Long Riders told me a story, which I can't believe is true, that about two versions of The Sweet accidentally meeting at a petrol station and having a fight, which sounds like the start of a low-budget British film. But The Two Fausts is, I think that is sort of, it's hilarious. I mean, you know, in the 90s, we couldn't believe it when there was one Faust back. Yeah. Now you've got Fausts coming out of your ears now. We had Faust. When Faust reformed is when I was in the double act in the mid-90s with Rich Herring. We used to do a show in Edinburgh in the mornings where we would interview people and talk about the cost of... The show was a show about the cost of putting a show in Edinburgh, and we'd raffle things, and it was sort of like a sort of mad chat show. I thought, let's get Faust on. He went, what? I said, who are they? He goes, who are they? I went, this German krautrock. They're a big deal from the 70s, and they're playing in the festival, and they've reformed. So we got Faust on, which was the rest of the people we had on, like Nicholas Parsons, or we had Faust on, and... They came, it was like 11 in the morning, they were drunk on vodka. It was the really big Zappy, that's his name, the big drummer guy, who's a bit of a terrorist. And they set up an angle grinding machine. So one of them played the piano while the other fed metal through this angle grinder. It was really off the scale for health and safety, all these shards of metal flying over people. And then I did a thing which I sort of regret, really, where I'd read an interview with... Simple Minds, where when they were Johnny and the Self-Abusers in the 70s as a punk rock jester, they got loads of that 49p Faust album that Virgin put out and threw them off the roof of a tenement building to prove that they didn't like hippies. And so I went round all the second-hand shops in Edinburgh and bought hundreds of Simple Minds albums you could get for like 10p at the time, and they smashed them to bits with a chainsaw. But but they were very accommodating. But that is a weird mid-90s crossover of the Lee and Herring Light Entertainment double act and Faust.
I guess we should play your last song, which is right. Too Nice to Talk To by The Beat. Too Nice to Talk To. So it just remains for me to say, Stuart, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
And just next time you're in Foyles or your local independent bookstore, it's Content Provider, Selected Short Prose Pieces, 2011 to 2016, out on Faber now or roundabout now, I think. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. a bit. Barcelona.
Ceylon. Aschenglory. Hinter deinen erschüttert verknoteten Händen am Dreiweg. Pontisches, einstmal, hier, ein Tropfen auf dem ertrunkenen Ruderblatt. Tief im versteinerten Schwur rauscht er auf. Auf dem senkrechten Atemseil, damals, höher als oben, zwischen zwei Schmerzknoten, während der blanke Tartarenmond zu uns heraufklomm, grub ich mich in dich und in dich. Aschenglory hinter euch drei Weghänden, das vor euch vom Osten her hingewürfelte. Furchtbar. Niemand zeugt für den Zeugen.
Hello. Hello. We are Shiksa and we're from Poland. It's just bass and vocals, so no surprises. Before we start, let me tell you a few words about us, because this whole shit will be in Polish. Shiksa is a word from Yiddish, and it means a non-Jewish girl, but in Poland it also has a different meaning. When people want to say that a girl is immature, naive, loud, stupid or silly, they called her Shiksa. So
here we are with all of our stupidity.
Tonight, we're gonna perform for you the live show called And the She-Devil Bangs with a Bass. The lyrics are in Polish, so give me 5 minutes to explain what this legend, myth, or bizarre carol is all about, and then I will transform myself into the She-Devil and try not giving a fuck. I'm the narrator of this her story, and I will tell you all about the She-Devil who invented her own language. Of course, I won't do it alone. The devil chick will be here to help me get it right. I can't imagine talking about her without her, so thank God that she possessed me. The She-Devil lived 100 years ago, but time doesn't play a role here, because the misunderstandings of her story are still valid to this day, and happen every day, probably at this very moment. When she was a child, she had a problem with speaking, especially when people in school or at home ask her all kind of stupid questions like,
why are you this way? Why do you want us to call you by boy's name? Why don't you still have a boyfriend? Put a set of horns on your head? What's wrong with you, girl?
She closed herself off. She couldn't answer these questions. She didn't have the language and tools to do it. So she stood there, all red and mute, broken into a thousand pieces, but in her heart she said, for her inability to speak, the She-Devil was exiled to Star City, where, as a punishment, she was supposed to conduct workshops in Polish. She did what she wanted. She didn't ask anyone's opinion. She made up the history of the city and the Polish language. During one such class, she invented the new language. She came across it by accident during a Build a Babel Tower workshop for the Little Devils. Anyway, she will show you this process herself, because the She-Devil wanted to do a live reenactment for the construction site. Her language is based mainly on emotions, so you will understand it without any problems. Don't worry, trust me. In general, you will understand everything what we are going to say, because I can see that you are a bunch of she-devils as well. So, she built a language in which she could finally express herself. In this kind of situations, there are always people who want to capitalize on something new, different, strange, and the symbol of this capitalization of someone else's wildness and queerness in this story will be the god of this world, a guy named Devil Opper. The she-devil got angry and felt that her language would not be the same if she let it be taken away, proceed by the mainstream and polished. So she cut off her tongue. By the way, language in Polish is język, and it literally means tongue. People went mad. They loved and hated her at the same time. And here, in many typical biographical notes of the she-devils of this world, the story ends. That's why the she-devil convinced me, the narrator, to tell a completely different end to her story and free her from the prison of someone else's clueless point of view. So, with the help of a little fairy named Personella, an old resident of Star City and a historian well known in the world of fantasy, we will make up the rest of this story. Because we want to find a way to tell the story of the she-devils differently. We will fantasize, because if we were telling true, hardly anyone would believe us. So let's fantasize. I hope I sparked your imagination a bit. Feel free to do what you want with it during the concert.
Because we sure as hell will.
P.S. We have an English translation of this show available. So if you want it, see us after the concert. Papa.
Żyła w czasach, kiedy takie zachowania nazywano opętaniem. Było to dawno temu i wszyscy później mówili, że to już się nigdy nie stanie. Ostrzegali siebie nawzajem, mówili nigdy już nie dopuścimy. Będziemy zawsze strzegli każdemu pokoleniu o tym opowiemy, przekażemy to, co my już wiemy. Napiszemy o tym, do każdego dotrzemy, zapełnimy księgi jej historią, żeby już nikt nigdy za żadne skarby świata. Chryste Panie, ona umarła, więc biegnij, 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 biegnij. Co siłą powiedzieć, to dalej mija 100 lat, a my jej historię nadal w kinie oglądamy. Czasami ktoś zrobi, to spryt jej zmieści ją w 3-minutowym życiu. Czasami w infografice, czasami w relacji, niektórzy nie umieją jej zatrzymać, więc można nawet nie doczytać do końca, do końca, do końca, do końca. Ale to nic, to nie jest sprawa, jakby paląca ma wspólnie. Historii można słyszeć codziennie do tysiąca, a mówili opowiadanie. Coś da przekazywanie, coś da, coś zmieni, jeżeli w dzielność słów tak niezłomne potrafią zgrzecić za toż. Czymś teraz jej historia znowu się powtarza za każdym razem pod tysięcznym komentarzem, kiedy ktoś mówi Boże, ale ona się odkleiła, żal mi jej chyba, albo nie, w sumie nie jestem pewien, jestem to wina, że jej nienawidzę, albo nie, ośwież ją, albo nie, wymyśl coś innego, żeby było inne, inne. Kiedyś to nazywano opętaniem, teraz też to nazywa się opętaniem. Nie wiem, co mogę zrobić, ale chcę powtórzeniu tej historii zapowiedz. Chyba na powtórze przekleję, zaśpiewam się ten z wami, podzielę albo nagram podcast, w którym opowiem o tym najmądrzejszym niedzielę. Zatrudnię lektorów, którzy będą mieć to wszystko w ciele, albo nie, zaproszę artystów, którzy nagrają o tym epkę. Może się zgodzą to zrobić bez pieniędzy, tak na pewno się zgodzą. Teraz to już jakby żaden problem. Czasy się jednak trochę zmieniły, ale jeszcze mam pomysł na taki performatywny gest. Be, 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 be. Wszystek
detto, że wejdę w jutro w ramach mówienia głośno na ulicę zaczęli krzyczeć jej imię, ale w wymyślonym przez się języku, żeby to było takie nawiązanie do jej odkrycia nowego języka, ale też jakby symbol opętania albo w ogóle to. Wszyscy obydlimy sobie w ramach protestu języki, wtedy to już total byłoby wspaniale. Języki byśmy sobie na koniec tego performatywnego wkurwu podepali i skakali na nich i takie wielkie hasło napisali na nich. Nie mam języka, a muszę krzyczeć. 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 She devil and the narrator of this story, first meeting. Przepraszam, ale to chyba o mnie są to słowa. O Boże, to ona! Ona nie ona wielka, nie wiadoma. Opowieści mają moc duchu wywoływania, więc się z piekiełka swego wyłania. No, właśnie chciałem jakąś duchem pnąć twoją opowieść, bo to jest potrzebne. Historia znów się powtarza niemożebnie. Historia nie raz się powtórzy, nie dwa, nie wiesz, czego tak się mówiąc tego mam na myśli. Tego systemu bezlitosnego, który tak się składa i układa, byś się jednym obarczyła. Myślała, że to twoja wina i albo zrobisz coś, albo nic i nie wytrzymasz. Wyrzutów sumienia to lawina. Wyrzutów sumienia to lawina. Wyrzutów sumienia to lawina. Wyrzutów sumienia to lawina. No, pani diablico, ale jak pani już tu jest, to może sama pani o sobie opowie. Mogę, ale tylko opowie. Bo jak widziałam ten film tego reżysera, co się sam niemalże we mnie wciela, to pomyślałam sobie... Sakramento! Krucyfiks! Fanfaron! Tak się czasy rzekomo zmieniły, a reżyser nadal wypróba sobie innym żyły. Te wszystkie moje demonice siły się tego formy zmieściły. A kichać na to! Sama bym ci to lepiej opowiedziała. Dobra, mam już tytuł. Diablica, która nauczyła nas języka. A co to za metoda? Wysłuchanie już tytułem obdarować. Racja, słuchanie trudniejsze jest niż mowa. Święte słowo! Panie Diablico, czy słowa są święte? Wolę, gdy są zdrowo pierdolnie. To... I tu się zgadzamy. To dobry początek dla historii, pani mamy. A więc... opowiadamy! Now, the she-devil will try to introduce herself to you. You ready?
Sobie zwykłą diablicą, o której nikt nigdy nie słyszał. Miałam jakieś gości, z nim mogłam się wysłowić. Za każdym razem, gdy ktoś mnie wydało zdanie, krzyczałam tylko w ten sposób, jako tako z siebie słowa wysławiałam. Pragnęłam w chodzie czoła przy konserwacji kościoła, ale czułam jak jakiś wewnętrzny głos nie woła. Rozumnego, tak się zamyśliłam, że cały kościół spalimam. I zapytano mnie, czemu to zrobiłam, to tak jak rozstrzygi przestawiłam. Walornie się wysłowiłam w swej dziwnej mowie, że wyszło jeszcze gorzej. Wysłano mnie więc na roboty. Przez 2 lata miałam budować kłopoty na cześć miasta, z którego się wywodziłam. Jakimś pokracznym fachem w mowie się wysłowiłam.
i mimo nieudolności wysławiania pomyśleli:
tak, diabli wiedzą, nie powiedzą, jak tam na początku historii plubrano. Mamy ją za darmo, niech się zajmie językową piastomanią. Jej język i do Polski, i do torci. Warsztaty dla zubów nie prowadzi.
Więc wysławiałam się na tematy historyczne, wymyślałam legendy niebotyczne o tym, jak powstał język polski. To tu, na tym kamieniu, na obrzeżu miasta, wypisano kiedyś pierwsze słowo gwiazda. Do dziś ta gwiazda świeci ponad murami miasta i czuwa nad nami. Żaden król nikogo już nie omamił swoimi czynami. Gwiezdno! Gwiezdno! Autorskie warsztaty z mowy polskiej. Zuby z badego podawały domom patronkę miasta, którym każdy ultros pewnie zna to oklaskał. Czułam, jak wtedy złożą się pełne królów katedry podziemia i jak pieszczotki odpadają i zjadają się ze złości, bo ktoś odmówił rozprawiać o ich bohaterskości. Ja robiłam to bez litości. Musi się dowiedzieć, że gdy te warsztaty robiłam, to się nad dzieciństwem swym znów zamyśliłam. Może to przez te zuby, które w nich uczestniczyły, ale takie wspomnienie miałam w tej chwili.
Alright, so now the she-devil was trying to introduce herself to you, yes? But you know what? In that kind of situation, when you want to build a real connection, and I feel that we want to build that kind of connection, yes? Yes. So, in this situation, as you people know, it's so hard to not talk about the childhood. Yes. So, this will be the memory of the she-devil from childhood, from school. Yes.
Informatyki kazano zrobić świąteczną karteczkę. W nagrodę można było pograć Mortal Kombat. Chwileczkę, no, z bankiem mieszkający słowami, bo mówili, że dzieci ryby głosu nie mają, nie mają, nie mają, nie mają. Zostałam wezwana od rektorki szkoły. Pan od informatyki kazał mi się wysłowić.
A co w ogóle chodzi? To się tak patrzy, jak szpak drewniany pieniądz złoty. Jak mogłaś tak zniszczyć świąteczne stroje? Jak mogłaś
zepsute, uprawione, rzekające garbie do życia w swej głowie powołać? A ja
zamarłam, rozbijam się na kawałki.
Wszelkie całkowie poskładać próbowałam. Ciało drży, głos jeszcze. Wzywam wszystkie słowa, które znam już blisko łez. Byłam, zawsze byłam, myślami się zakleiłam. Skórki z warb, gryzłam i smaku krwi się. To szokuje, myślę jak moje, jeszcze mimo to jak moje ciało smakuje. Biorę do ust, więc wrytwą co znowci. Zastanawiam się, gdzie wkładałam. Biorę do ust, więc wrytwą co znowci. Zastanawiam się, gdzie wkładałam. Skoro teraz w ustach smak popiołu miałam. I przypomniałam sobie jeden z najpiękniejszych zapachów skóry. Po długim wystawieniu na słońce, w myśli mojej podobnie palące, więc skręciły w planowanie lata. Po tej długiej, wyczerpującej myśli drodze. And you know what? They are still standing in front of me and asking all these kind of stupid questions. Because you know what? I've never answered.
never answer. Never answer. Never answer.
Dlaczego tutaj jesteś? Dlaczego wyryłaś sobie kęki na ręce? Przecież okaleczać się to przecież. Wiesz, dlaczego masz takie pizda w ręce? Który spot jak sobie zrobiłaś? Też objęcie imieniem się nazywać. Kradniesz ubrania braka, dlaczego nie masz jeszcze chłopaka? Buzy eksponujesz, na nogach chodzisz w sztucznych rogach poruszasz tak dziecinne tematy, dlaczego nie zaczniesz?
No! Poważnie! Walczeć!
Nie wypowiedziałaś się, gdy było trzeba? Dlaczego zachowujesz się jak budynka? Nie przygotowałeś się wcześniej tego przemówienia? Dlaczego nie mówisz, że no wszystko co my tu mówimy to są pomówienia!
Pomówienia! Pomówienia! Pomówienia! Pomówienia! Na
Mów! Nie mogę się obronić, bo nie mogę się wysłowić. Zaczynanie, pauzowanie, myśli, kołatanie szczerości wewnętrzny.
Żuk! 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 Żuk!
And you know what? If they will came here to me,